She's out there.
You're the Florida version of Sex in the City, JD.
That's when I was smoking my cigar.
Don't be an asshole today.
How's life over here?
I'm okay. I'm just digging the fact that we're having like a cold summer. Isn't that terrible?
That is nice. I'm jealous. Very jealous.
I know. I don't even want to say because I don't want it, because I know everybody's having a rough time with the heat over there everywhere. Everywhere is, it's just insane right now. And isn't it like Portland, 116. Canada, 118. Like what? Really? Really?
No.
Yeah.
We don't even have it that hot.
Yet. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, it's so weird. I just realized that I don't really know what that is. Little shadow, maybe. Okay. Well, anyways, so I'm super excited. We got Miri that's going to join us. I have like a super weird drink that I just created. I'm Tylering a little bit.
Oh, you're inspired.
I got some apple cinnamon cordial with the Keeper's Honey Smoke Bourbon and Club Soda.
Oh, that's almost like a honey smoked and apple. It's like a
honey smoked apple cinnamon. It feels like you're at a fall bonfire.
Very yeah. Fall.
Yeah, like that's what very fall say. Because that's the weather. That's what it feels like. So I went with that.
A little jealous. Oh, I forgot my bottle. I'm drinking the Pride vodka today.
Oh, good for you.
Not quite much.
You got the gentleman's Jack. I got the regular Jack. We're good.
Yeah, I have that glass too. I should have gotten that to match. Anyway, I have the bottle. It's the Pride bottle for the
very good vodka. For you. Last day of Pride, getting it in last, there at the end.
That's last awesome. Day of Pride. I'm sliding in.
Sliding in with the Pride vodka. Does it taste gay?
It's a little gay.
A little gay.
Feeling happy, gay in the happy, fluffy.
Well, you know. Yeah, that, of course. So I'm going to let Miri in because I think she's got a couple of cool little bottles of Martell lined up. So
nice.
She knows. You got to have a drink.
She's up. She's on it. She's all over it.
She's on it, man. There she is.
Hey.
I love this. The musicians come prepared. They got like the studio mic and the headphones, and we're sitting here with shitty laptops. It's amazing.
This. I have an iPad, but I should have that set up.
So I want to formally introduce you, Miri, to JD Danner, my co-host, musician.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
I've been listening to your music and it's amazing. I love your originality.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank
so creative.
You.
Honestly,
yeah.
I know. I listened to Just Breathe a couple of times today, just like walking around the house, like like I got rhythm or something.
Even what you do with the covers is so different and it's very fresh. It's what you hear. I was telling Denise, it's what you hear today in commercials and movies and television shows. It's just a really cool take on some of the iconic hits that I've been listening to that you've covered, plus your original music. So yay, I've been listening. I'm turned on to new music.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you very much.
You know, I was so excited that we had you on the show tonight that I text Katie right away. Katie Hall. I was like, I've got your friend. she was all jealous. She was like, she is my friend. And I you know, I got to let people know, first of all, not only are you a musician, we worked together at Elfest. That was how I met you. But you're so creative. You're like an artist. You've got the Find Your Voice thing going on. You starred in her web series. So you did some phenomenal acting there, which, by the way, I was in too, in voice only, but you know. But yeah, I'm always amazed at the things that you get up to.
Oh, that could be taken the wrong way, but no.
Well, you know. Okay. The things that we know about. The things that we know about.
No, 100%. No, thank you. Creativity is just so important, isn't it? And although I've spent so many years and continue to like hone my craft as a songwriter, as a vocalist, there's just so many ways to, I just find if something, ignites that spark, then I'm there for it or here for it. So
yeah, all over it, man. It's
fantastic. All over it. Yeah. Here, there.
Tell me a little bit about how you got into like being on the web series. Was that completely like out of your realm? Was it new to be in front of the camera like that, acting and not singing?
Yeah, I mean, originally, Katie had reached out to me to be involved as a music supervisor for the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was a case where they wanted to use some of my songs. And I actually, before I started taking music seriously as a career, acting was what I wanted to do. So when I was younger, I studied acting and I wanted to direct and had all these sorts of dreams. And then I ended up following a path in music. And just before that web series, I'd really been sort of feeling how I wanted to explore acting again. And I didn't quite know how, but I thought, okay, you know you want to, so just put it out there and let's see what happens. And then this opportunity came up, which was amazing. And Katie, you know, I remember them messaging me and saying, you know, please do consider it. Like, they didn't want to put pressure on me. And I wasn't expecting to get one of the lead parts. I was just sort of doing this just to kind of, I think, just explore and just, yeah, I was kind of just gone through one of those chapters in life that was really tough previously. And then I read Patti Smith's book, Just Kids. And I just felt it just kind of got me out of this rut. And I decided for the next year, like, live like Patti. So I kind of just started. It led me to like doing a gig in Berlin and just traveling and just doing some really cool things. And so the acting came up. And yeah, that's how it all came about, basically.
It's fantastic. It's one of those things where you put something out there and it comes to you. And it's not that you have to say yes, but in your mind, you know, it's kind of like, I'm open to it, you know, isn't there a book called From a Place of Yes? Jay, do you know? Because I think it was an American one, like Bethany wrote it or something from Housewives. No joke. She's really good.
I saw your Instagram post about her being at the building in Miami.
Yeah, the condo flap. She's doing a lot. So yeah, some people do good. You know, reality stars do good with their fame and their
right.
Fame, you know, so I think she's one of those people. But she did, you know, come from nothing and like really, she's like a gazillionaire now. But it like she said, it started from a place of saying yes to things. And I think, you know, that's the thing. If you're open to it, then yeah, man, say yes. Cause you did a fantastic job in the web series. It was great. Like I was so proud of Katie, but you know, I was so happy to see faces I knew. Like that was a part of it. But yeah, that's huge. And then from there, you know, your music is always at the forefront. But tell me a little bit about your t-shirt campaign.
Right. So
you got one. Give me one of these. Yeah. Schitt's Creek. There it is.
when the pandemic first hit, gigging was just not happening at all. And it was a big, you know, part of my income that was just sort of slashed. And I spoke to this woman called Sally, who works with a lot of women in music, offering them guidance. And she was like, look, I'm happy to just give you a one-to-one. Like, she didn't charge me or anything. And she really loved, like, I didn't create the tagline "Find Your Voice." It's been used. But I was kind of running, I run sort of vocal and songwriting workshops and one-to-one lessons as well called Find Your Voice. And she was like, "I really love that tagline. Have you ever thought about putting that on a t-shirt?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I haven't." And she was like, "This is something that, you know, you could do. And it's just a way to make a bit of extra money." So that's what the kind of, that's why I did it originally. And then it just kind of took, had a life of its own and just became really special to me. And like, even when I wear one of my t-shirts, I wear it when I feel, I mean, obviously, yeah, promotion, but also just when, when I sort of feel I need a bit of strength today. And and that's, you know, I find clothing really special in that way. So it's been really beautiful just to see other people finding that comfort in the brand as well. And yeah, so I've sort of launched them in a sense where I don't have to buy, you know, merch up front. And like many artists, you just have all this merch in your house. So it's on a site, and all the prints and everything are uploaded, and then people can just buy from there. But I did recently as well, I did buy up front some t-shirts for Pride. So it's the same, it's the same logo, but it's just got all the, like, the progressive flag colors. And so I've kind of, yeah, released them on Bandcamp, and I've got a few gigs coming up, which I'm going to sell them at as well.
That's fantastic. We had a couple on last week, and we were, and they have launched a swimwear company for, you know, kind of geared at our LGBT community, because, you know, you find it hardest to have any confidence or self-esteem in a bathing suit, you know, and that's pretty much because, you know, in a department store, they're geared towards a certain body style that we don't, you know, all have. So they created this line, and then didn't, Jay, we did like a bit of a deep dive into body positivity and comfortability, confidence. But it's like you're saying, like, you pick up your clothes with that in mind, kind of, you know, like your look, your style, what you feel comfortable in, what's projecting, what you want to project. So I guess,
And I think sometimes fashion and clothing can be seen in a really fickle way, but speaking as a queer woman, and for so many years feeling I had to dress in a certain way that I didn't feel comfortable. It's not to say, you know, if I want to wear heels and go out, then I'll do that. But it was kind of like when I was growing up, that's what made you a woman. And I remember it wasn't until I first went on the gay scene in London at a place called Candy Bar. And I just saw all these other young women at the time and was like, oh my gosh, they dress like me, you know, like I don't have to, you know, it's nice to know you have a choice, and it's nice to be able to embrace different clothing styles, but it's kind of, there's such, it's just so generic to be like, well, this is your gender and this is how you must dress when you go out, and this is how you must dress day to day. And if you don't, if that doesn't, you know, fit right for you, then it's kind of almost like, I don't know, I continue to now just find myself and what feels comfortable instead of what society expects from me. And I do feel like with clothing, I mean, it's taken me years to get to a point where I'm like, yeah, this is me. I feel comfortable. This is who I am and how I choose to express myself. And knowing that one day I can go out and wear heels, and another day I can go out and wear baggy jeans and trainers, it doesn't, it, I am who I am, and it doesn't take away, it doesn't take away, you know, anything, like my womanhood, if you like. It's
it's you expressing your individuality, like Jay, the you're wearing right now, you stumbled on that, and that's it, it goes perfectly with your look, and yet you're, it's doing good for veterans, and you know.
Oh, yeah, that nine line. Yeah.
Is that what you're wearing right now, today?
No, actually, I'm wearing I'm wearing Palette King today. This is my other gig. I'm a musician and I have a day gig too, which is a business, but that's hard to balance, you know, like you were saying, you know, when most of your income comes from music, it's tough with what was happening with the pandemic. So this is my day gig, but Nyline is a clothing line supporting first responders and our troops and veterans. You know, I found that sometimes when you dress the way you like to dress, it might not be the way everyone expects you to dress. Like, I found this jacket in New Orleans. I went to New Orleans 2 years ago for a music conference, and I get what you're saying, Mary, because I was with three other women, and it was a music conference for artists, but we were three women that went, and they're stopping at all the stores with the little skirts and the flowers and the little, you know, the flowy dresses. And I'm just sitting there like when the husband goes and sits with the purses and I'm like, oh, that looks nice on you. But like, I'm not even looking. There's nothing in the store for me, like high heels and little gloves and stuff. And it was just, and they're all so excited. And I'm thinking, there's not anything in this town for me. So we're walking down the street, and then I find these goth stores. And that was my stuff, you know? So, but the point is that I know how that feels, because I was with three straight women who were like looking in the stores with the skirts, and I couldn't even connect with what they were looking at, except like, I'm never going to look good in that, you know, or that's not even something I want to wear, pink. And then I found the store with the black and the red and the skulls on the buttons and stuff. And that was like my thing. So I get that. And, you know, you got to dress how you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I think we're, you know, at this stage where there's so much fluidity out there now, you know, like gender fluidity and sexual fluidity and everything else, that it's, I don't want to say it's so widely accepted, but it's becoming so much more mainstream, I think, that people don't, you know, give you a second look anymore. You know, if you're dressed like a tomboy, they don't think anything of it. If you're dressed like fucking Cinderella walking down the street, they don't anything of it anymore. You know, like, it's just between social media, you know, and regular media, you know, I don't know who we were talking to, but I was saying how I feel like almost every show that I watch, there's like now a transgender character or a bisexual character or, you know, an asexual character. It's just, it's just crazy. And I mean, not that it's crazy, but I mean, it's just, I think because I'm so much older that it still, it shocks me when I see it like on network television. I was like, wow, like it's right here on our TV screens. Like, not that much shocks me over here because British TV is so much more liberal, you know, and progressive.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, very much so. But when I see something like on Grey's Anatomy or Lone Star, 911 Lone Star has a transgender character, and they're being played by queer or transgendered actors, and that's what I like. Like, you know, it's getting a lot more progressive, I think, and that's taking the sting out of people seeing it on the street, you know, where they live and where they shop and hang out and stuff. So, yeah, I think, you know, expressing your individuality through, you know, your clothing is great. And they're cute. They're cute shirts. I just, they're neutral. They have such a positivity to them without in your face. You know, I mean, like, it's fantastic. I think that's great. And everybody had to supplement somehow during this. Were you doing virtual gigs or anything like that? Was it, you know?
Yeah, I did a few. At first it was nice. And then it just felt, it's good to be able to do that, but it's obviously just not the same.
Oh yeah. As,
you know, when we're kind of in real life.
Feedback from an audience, you know, like, you
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, it's weird. Exactly. Exactly. It's really weird. I mean, I do some other work sort of still as a musician, but some work for various music and mental health organizations and youth music organizations. So I was very lucky that I was able to kind of still be able to do some of that work through the pandemic. So I wasn't purely relying on gigging. So yeah, I managed to sort of keep afloat, and there were also as well just amazing, like you've got the Arts Council and also Help Musicians UK, and I managed to get, when it first hit, like some emergency funding, which was a real lifesaver. Yeah, just I remember actually just kind of really not having money, or just really it just reminded me how it's so hard to think clearly and evolve and move forward when you're like, how am I gonna pay for food, you know, for the next couple of weeks? So that emergency funding, I mean, they did more than the government have done. But that's a whole other story.
It's true though, because you know, the way I was looking at it, because so many of my friends are musicians, actors, performers, you know, in that industry, it seems so forgotten. Like people were in a panic over the airline industries, you know, over the club industries, over Broadway, you know, and I get that part of it, but it was the local performing arts people that, you know, that you see around town, like those were the ones that it was killing me. Really rough. And who would have thought that we'd be going through something like this in 2020, you know, like it's just, it felt so 1819, if you will.
I know, that's what we had to compare it to, the Spanish flu with the people back then.
Miri, what I saw you posted something about your drinks. What do you got there?
Oh, okay. So I have got, so I tried to drink gluten-free beer, but this was all I could get, which is a Corona.
That's very American.
But it's meant to be a lighter beer. And then I also got, which is almost gone, what did I get? It was a cognac. Yeah, no. Just like at the news agent. I just got two little
excellent
cognac.
Choice.
We said we had to spend our emergency funds on booze. We're horrible. Horrible people.
So where are your next gigs? Where are you going to be gigging next, Mary?
Okay, so I've got two that are confirmed. There's one on the 22nd of July, which is at the Lexington. That's put on by Loud Women. And I'm supporting an amazing artist called Lilith I. And then I'm doing another Loud Women gig September the 18th, which is also supported by the Arts Council. And that is the Loud Women Festival. It's like their fifth festival. Oh, so that's nice. Really exciting. And all the tickets are available. And then I'm working this out. I've got a friend who's very kindly going to help me, but I'm going to aim to do a gig possibly or hopefully in August in the area of Surbiton to kind of do a little fundraiser to help raise money to finish my next release, basically.
Is that near me?
Surbiton
is that just outside Surrey?
It's sort of near Kingston.
I see it on the road signs. Surbiton, near Kingston on Thames.
Yes, that's it. It's a really lovely sort of, because I've done a few gigs in Kingston and Surbiton, and the crowds are just really lovely and supportive of what I do. And I just thought, well, I don't know, I love London, but I thought, let me go to Surbiton and sort of just do something there. And
a little bit outside of that zone.
Yeah, it's sort of sometimes.
You can still get into London and be cool.
Yeah.
you know, it doesn't take long. Right? Then you can come back to your little village and, you know, go to the market and talk to old people. You know,
very comfortable. When you play festivals, do you play solo? Do you have a band? I noticed you play with different people in different videos.
Yeah, it's sort of a hustle, really. I mean, at the moment, I sort of, or before the pandemic, I was doing a lot of gigs just solo, me and keyboards, because I just realized when it comes to payment and paying the bills, I just needed to do that. But it's actually worked out. Exactly. It's worked out really well. And funnily, when I first started doing that, because I was like, oh, is this going to work? And I did it at a gig in Brighton a few years ago. And it was because the guitarist who was meant to be playing for me, he had an accident with his hand and he couldn't play. And there was a keyboard at the gig, like one of the artists was playing keys. And I was like, all right, I'll do a few songs on keys. And in fact, an amazing band, a duo called Nova Twins, or are they two? Yeah, they were playing. It just went down really well. And I was like, really? Because I was so used to playing with musicians. I thought, me? But I think it's been great. No, I think it has been great, because it's just sort of allowed me to really put my voice out there, sort of thing, and know now when I do work with musicians how I'd like them to accompany me. And sometimes people love to sort of smother a little bit, don't mean that in a bad way. It's like lots of complications. But what I've learned through just doing gigs with keyboards, it's like stripping things back on the keys and then telling the story and allowing my voice to be the main instrument,
right?
So, yeah, I mean, I have a load of musicians that I can call upon for doing full band gigs, and I would love to do that. But it just depends on the event. Like if Glastonbury called and they were like, we'd love for you to perform, regardless, you know, even if it wasn't paid a lot or not paid at all, which is what I've heard from some people, I would do it and just call upon some friends and be like, look, would you be up for this? But otherwise, it's just not, you know, like I did a gig the other day, which was great, at the Amersham Arms. And if I would have sort of had loads of musicians, I would have gone home with nothing.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just having to sort of, just kind of be selective. And I do actually enjoy both, but I do really enjoy just rocking up with my keyboard. It's just me. And then I can do my thing. I can, and then I can just go. And. Yeah. But I guess the ideal would be like, if I was doing like a sold out show, would be to have a band and then also do some songs solo. So kind of mix it up.
Yeah.
A bit. But at the moment, it's just having to be realistic and
I want
bands and
venues are trying to bounce back a little bit too, so they don't have
the
same budget that they used to have. Yeah. And
that's, I mean,
it's like they're expecting you to understand that you're expecting to survive, that's just being practical, you know. And again, it does give you a lot more freedom and, you know, to be as creative as you want and control it over your own.
Right.
So yeah, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I remember when we worked together at Elfest, I don't remember there being a big band.
When I did Elfest, I think that was a time where I was working with like backing musicians quite a bit. So I think it was probably just guitar, bass, and not a full drum kit, but sort of a stripped down kind of kit.
Yeah.
And I do really, you know, I even just saying it, actually, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And because now as well, I just know some really amazing people who I know I could call upon. I would just love that to sort of mix it up. But yeah, it's sort of like we're saying, you just gotta play it by ear. Just do what you can. And
but you're fortunate because you're, you know, you're to me, I don't, you probably hear it all the time, but I feel like your voice is so unique that it is, like for me, it's instantly recognizable. Like I know that's you, it, because it is so, so unique. It's like an additional instrument, you know, that, you know, like right. It's really, it's great. And do you, like, do you write all your own stuff, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. And I do co-writes, or I've done co-writes. Like the next single is a song I wrote with a friend quite a few years ago. And I just really am still feeling the song, and I just really want to put it out there. But the majority, the majority of the stuff I do is on my own. But I love co-writing with people as well. So
that's fantastic. You know, I follow you on Instagram and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, just to keep up with what you're doing, when, where you're at and all that. But I, you said the Surbiton gig was in August or September?
Hopefully, I'm seeing my friend in July, so we're going to talk about it then. But I'd like it to be August, because I'm really excited about it.
I think I could break out of my little shell.
Ooh,
you're gonna go out.
Nice.
Find out.
Yeah.
You and Gemma for date night.
Yeah, really. I seriously need one, honestly. My poor, her trip just got canceled. She was supposed to go to Australia for a month.
It got canceled?
Yeah, the airline called and they pushed it out because they're not, it's Hong Kong, where the layover is, and they're not allowing UK travelers, so she can't get to Australia. It feels horrible. So yeah, maybe I'll buy her a ticket to a gig, and then
there you go.
Yeah. Oh, that would be lovely. I mean, obviously, it's not Australia
right.
Yeah, but that would be
anything to take her mind off the fact that she should be there.
I get what you're saying about the solo gigs. You know, it's good when you're lucky when you're a musician and a writer and you can go out and play solo, so you can take those gigs, and especially when they're out of town. I'm in the same situation where I play solo most of the time when I travel, because it's just it's not financially sound to take a whole band with you. And even the local gigs, you know, as you say, it depends on the gig. But it's great when a person, especially writers, can you know, tell their stories with just their voice and their instrument. I know a lot of people that write, but they don't sing, but they play the instrument, or they sing, but they don't play an instrument. And then you're kind of at a loss because you need someone else to, unless they're singing with tracks, which is another way to do it. But I think that being versatile, having that option, leaves you open to more, you know, definitely leaves you open to more opportunities.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
And saying yes to things in the universe. Do you find that, like, you get opportunities that you don't even look for, but they just happen to just fall on your lap, like they come your way, because you're out there and you're open to trying acting and trying directing and music direction? Yeah.
Definitely. I feel like as in the past few years, like, I feel like I've got a bit tired or felt a bit tainted, but I really want to hold on to that magic and remind myself of that magic, because, you know, I think sometimes as well, like, when you do feel a bit worn out, I don't know, I might not always see that actually that opportunity came through, and that's big, that's major. You know, sometimes it's, I know I can definitely be hard on myself at times, and I'm just really trying to be disciplined with myself to be like, but look what, you know, look what's kind of occurred.
Right.
And I really believe that one thing I do feel is that you just keep showing up. I'm going to keep showing up to life. I'm going to keep showing up, keep following that spark and that joy for what I do. And that definitely is something that, you know, just kind of leads me to some, magic opportunities, magic people.
Right.
Yeah, and just, I don't know, I was reflecting on this the other day that I just thought, even though maybe I haven't achieved all the things I'd like to achieve, I feel like, I don't mean this in a morbid way, but when my time comes, I actually would look back at my life and be like, no, I'm proud. Like, you've done good. You've done well.
Yeah, it takes a minute to recognize those things. Because like you said, it is, it's a hustle. And sometimes the burnout comes in. You know, Jay, right. Talk about this. Like, when you're doing everything yourself, like scheduling, managing, booking, promoting, you know, all that, you know, the burnout comes from that. But actually, the joy comes from what you're doing. And it's such a fine line to walk, you know, to remember to enjoy what you're doing and try not to get burnt out by, you know, the production management business side of it. You know, that's I think what wears you down. Like, it's a tough gig that we've chosen, this road that we've all chosen. I think it's also a cool circle that you find yourself in with other musicians and artists and creative people, that we all feed off of each other. You know, it's a great community. It's when we start letting the business people in, you know, that's what ruins it. So when it's just as creators, you feed off of one another's energy. So we always forget to lean on the support that we find in our little bubble, our little circle of creativity, I guess. So you were saying that the people that you come in contact with, that's part of it, the magic, you know, that happens. So don't lose sight of that. That's really important. It's crazy times, but like, we're coming out of it. And I hate to say this because it makes me sound like an old person, but you know, there's a part of me that thinks that this is, you know, this whole bad thing that's happened, you know, over the last year and a half, it makes you realign and all of a sudden feel the good when something good happens. Now we have this ability to feel it because everything's been so shit for the last year, and we're used to that shit feeling, that now the littlest thing can happen that's good, and we're like, yay, you know, like it sparks it all again. So this is you know, there's going to be a lot more yays coming, I think. You know,
I like the way you put it. You have to just keep showing up. That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
Just doing that, because, you know, you never know. I always say, always answer your phone, because like, so many people I know don't answer their phone if they don't recognize the number. I get more excited about that because I'm like, it's the big call. It's that person that's calling me to play square. You know? I will more answer it. Like, you have to answer. They don't always call twice. So, right? I mean, but that's a great way of saying it, Mary. You have to keep showing up.
I like, you have to answer the call. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you guys, on that note, this has been fabulous. Mary, thank you so much for showing up. Saying yes.
I like what you did there.
Just going to let everybody know they can find you at MaryOfficial.com.
That's right. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Okay, cool. It's been lovely seeing you, my friend.
And you.
Very nice meeting you.
And you as well. Thank you so much. This has been really lovely and lifted my spirits.
Thank you guys so much.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Yeah. Oh, there's Bessie.
We drank way too much whiskey.
Like, never stop chasing your dreams.